You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, yeah, let's do it for the last time this season. Last time ever you'll hear Fireball after a Flames win on this radio station, or at least this show.
Time to start brainstorming for next year.
No,
it's a couple quick months away.
Yeah, it is. Flames with a 5-1 win over the San Jose
October
Sharks.
October 13th, right around the corner, bud.
Oh, look at that. My birthday. Flames with a 5-1 win last night. The next 3 hours are spent on why Jacob Markstrom didn't take the morning skate. Your text at 960-960. Flames with a 5-1 win. I don't know about you guys. Did you guys notice that watching the game last night, did Nazem Kadri have a shot on goal last night? Did he have an attempt? Like, he had at least two attempts last night on goal, right?
Couple, yeah. Might have been trying to put the puck on net.
Was he?
He was doing
maybe
a lot.
Maybe.
I love the ball hockey movie did too, where he flipped the ball.
Amazing.
Flipped the puck to himself.
That
should have like three guys.
Should have let him
scores.
Have that one.
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
He got registered 8 shots.
He had 74 attempts.
How many attempts? I think it's 16 when it was said and done.
Yeah.
I don't have the ESPN. ESPN doesn't have
Hold
it.
On.
But yeah,
I got it right here for you.
How many attempts on goal?
Eight on goal.
Yep.
5 that were blocked. Yep. 3 missed the net for a total of 16.
He was trying. So I was right. He did try to score last night.
That 30th was elusive, man.
Yeah.
It was elusive.
You know what? He was trying so hard to score that he gave Blake Coleman a great, enormous bruise in the back of the leg to end the season. Thanks, Naz. Right at the end, Blake Coleman takes in the back of the leg. Can't even put any weight on his leg. I'm like, come on, man.
He's like hobbling to the bench.
I felt so bad for Coleman.
Comes back from an upper body injury just to get his 20th.
Or
gets
30th,
it.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Keeps grinding.
Yeah.
And then
takes a snapper right in the back of the leg. No equipment.
And that one he leaned into.
Yeah.
It was late in the game, so you know he's putting a little extra on it to make sure he tries to get it.
Oh, God. And it's like, he must have been like, are you serious right now?
Serious, bro?
Come on, man.
Kadri's probably like, hey, you got yours. It's enough out of you. You sit down.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God.
I've been trying to do this for 4 games. You come back today, get one.
Poor Blake. Just wonder what that back of his leg looks like. It's the first question I would ask today at locker cleanout day. Or stall cleanout day, because it's stall. It's
you can go if you want.
Yeah, I could.
9 o'clock, we start it up. That's where we're going at Big Show Plus. We're going right to the Dome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pat's there. He'll set everything up.
Wow, look at you guys. That's cool.
Yeah.
What's your leg look like? Because he took it right in the back of the leg right at the end of the game in the third period. Poor Blake Coleman. Adam Klapka almost had a Gordie Howe hat trick last night. God, that's a giant human being.
Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what... Mackenzie Weegar called him after the game?
Oh, what? The Green Giant? No, what?
Nope. It's, hold on. Lurch. Got it right here. Rip me up there, GVP.
The big mutant, Klapka.
Yeah, he is a big mutant. The guy's giant. Who'd he fight from the Sharks? What's his name?
Giovanni Smith.
Yeah. There's two brothers. I wasn't sure which one. One of the Smith brothers.
Okay, but like that guy's 6'2". It's not like he's small.
Well, and he's a tough customer, too.
Yeah, and then when Klapka fought him, you're like, oh, my God. Like, he just
a lot
waited.
Of reach.
Who fought?
It's Rempe stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly what it is.
It's just a massive human being.
And I don't think either of them are exceptionally great scrappers, but they could grow into it.
Yeah. And I think Klapka held his own.
Somebody fought Smith last year, too, when he was in Florida.
Oh, yeah. He's a tough customer.
Yeah. It took him a while to throw him.
They were just really feeling each other out there. I don't think anybody wanted to get hurt.
I grabbed the clip for the morning report. It's 13 seconds before they engage after they drop the gloves.
It felt like an hour.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
13 seconds is about an hour when you're talking about the fastest game on ice.
I'm like, somebody please throw a punch. But Klapka. Because the guy fought is a small dude. He's like 6'2". Just Klapka is such an enormous
human
being.
We call Tyler Myers the chaos draft. Klapka's, he's a He's a chaotic one out there.
Well,
on
again, who knows what his future holds for the Calgary Flames. But and does anybody grab milestone goals quicker than Ryan Leslie? Like, did the Flames trainer just, like, hand it to him directly when the guy goes? And then, like, that's the chain of command here for milestone pucks?
It is, without a doubt, yeah.
Like, trainer, write it down, tape around the puck, right to Ryan Leslie, who hands it to you at the interview, in the intermission.
You nailed it. There's no middleman apart from that.
Yeah,
it's just Les. Yep.
He always has his hands on those pucks every time.
Got to get him prepped, man. Got to get him ready.
And Klapka, I thought that was very nice what he said in the intermission. You know, he thought of, you know, what it took to get here and being in the NHL, and I thought it was a really nice interview. Obviously, English not his first language, but I thought it was very, very nice. And then the Weeg Dog in the second intermission, Leslie saying, thanks for not being so gigantic. I'm paraphrasing. That's kind of what he said to Ryan Leslie because
mm-hmm.
He had to stand on a milk. He should have been standing on a milk crate when he was interviewing Klapka. But the Weeg Dog got his 20th, and I thought it was kind of funny that they were really playing it up on the broadcast and on the postgame show. First time in NHL history. Well, they haven't been tracking shots since 05-06. So it's just like the sack in the NFL. Like when they didn't actually register.
At least the
sack's
been around since the 80s.
Yeah, since the 80s. Yeah. Like Deacon Jones would have had like 190 sacks a year.
Oh, he's over
they
like 200
track
probably
sacks.
Total.
But yeah, since they've been tracking block shots in 05-06, the Weeg Dog, the first guy, defenseman in NHL history, have 200 block shots and 20 goals, which is quite the accomplishment. And he also broke Al MacInnis's franchise record for 17 even-strength goals for a defenseman, which is damn impressive, too. And it was very in Weeg Dog fashion. He snapped it at the net, it hit something, fluttered in, and he got his 20th.
Narrowly avoided the sticks of two Flames.
Yes.
Which was also very important.
Yes.
Just to make sure he got
Backlund's
it.
Like, I didn't touch it. It wasn't me. He did the old Shaggy in front. Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. Call me on the counter. Another thing I wanted to point out from Uyghur. So, most combined hits and blocks this season. This was before yesterday's game. He was fourth in the NHL with 390. The players ahead of him, Jeremy Lazan, who set a new NHL record for hits in a season this year, Moritz Seider in Detroit, who we also know is a bit of a staple gun, and then Garnet Hathaway, who's another just PK, tough as nails, eat rocks for breakfast type of guy, and a former Flame. So that was another one where it's like, yeah, he's putting the puck in the net, he's blocking shots, he's doing everything that the team needs him
and
to do. So
for a team that bled a lot of goals here after a lot of deals. And again, plus minus for a lot of the analytics nerds out there, like, oh, no, no, plus minus. He's still a plus player on the team.
Yeah, it's one of those things that plus minus is what it is. If you're minus 29, that's something to
it
take
is something.
Into note. If you were plus 35, it's something to take into note. If you end the season even, it's like, okay, great.
Yeah, and he was a plus player for the Flames. And, well, like we talked about Kucherov, had 100 and whatever points. 44 points or whatever, and it was only a plus 8.
One thing I didn't remember to check is Rasmus Anderson, 27 shifts. I don't know if that dropped his average. Might not be leading the league in shifts per game anymore, but we'll find out. I'm sure that'll be
another stat.
That
wasn't a milestone watch last night.
Yeah, exactly.
And Dustin Wolf narrowly missing the bagel last night with 8 seconds to go. Or Zetterlund just snapped that thing over his shoulder when he was trying to get through traffic and got really low. And then
you got to get out there solo. You got to get out there and block that. Like, you got to get out there, man. 9 seconds. You got to get out there.
Yeah. And if there's few certainties in this life. The sun will shine, the birds will sing, and Dustin Wolf will start against the Sharks. Like, that's what we know in this life are guarantees and certainties. But almost had his first career shutout last night, just 8 seconds short. And I know Derek wasn't happy about the officiating.
No, no, he was not. You don't call any penalties all game. Only one apiece.
Well,
even the refs
were waving off icings the whole time.
Yeah,
like everybody wanted to get that third period. They might as well did run time.
I didn't see
for
the
that third period.
I didn't see the. I left the left with like 5 minutes left, but I didn't see what happened there.
It was. I don't know. Pospisil got into the net.
He was being Pospisil. In a 5-0 game.
Yeah, he was attacking and a loose puck in a 5-0.
Oh, it's 76 on Calgary? Get him the hell out of here.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, he got totally ragdolled by Luke Cunningham, who just horse-collared him.
Well, because he was trying to pitchfork that puck into the net, too.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't wearing a halo, like an angel halo.
No.
When he was trying to pitch that thing in.
Not
that third period was like somebody rented the dome ice for like 10:30, and they had to get that game done quick to get him on the ice. We got another rental after you guys. Yeah. Hurry up. We got to go run time here in the third period.
We have 15 minutes for a flood, then next group's out here. Let's go. Come on.
Old timers are coming out here to warm up.
Nothing wrong with it.
That's essentially what happened last night.
Nothing wrong
with it. In that third period. Weak Dog scores his 20th. Blake Coleman scores his 30th. Nazem Kadri desperately trying to get his 30th last night.
Klapka's first.
Klapka's first. It was a good night all around. And I thought it was fitting that in a game where Calgary completely dominates, Jonathan Huberdeau off the scoreboard. Well, that's what I kind of noticed.
Finished his last three games with donuts.
No points. What I thought was apropos last night for the Flames.
Three
season.
Points less than last year.
That's great. Yegor Sharangovich finishes as the team's number one goal scorer, which was nice for a trade that a lot of Flames fans didn't like when it went down, but ultimately, great trade by Connie and the Flames. Got to say they won that deal.
So far, so good.
Yep.
You got the pick, too.
Yep, third rounder.
So that'll work. I didn't think he was a huge impact yesterday, but that's fine.
Yep. Now, that's not the dumbest thing we saw from last night.
What was the dumbest thing we saw yesterday?
Far and away, the dumbest thing we saw from last night was for some inexplicable reason, the Oilers decide not to play anybody except the starting goaltender in game one of the playoffs.
Skin dog.
So they start their number one goalie for some reason. They throw him to the Lions, who the Avalanche go full bore and play everybody against the Oilers, who decided, like, you know what? Draisaitl, McDavid, RNH, Bouchard, the list goes on. Hyman. You guys all got the night off, except the guy we need, probably the most important player outside of McDavid in the playoff run, Stuart Skinner. Yeah, you know, we're going to play you in the first period and we'll just hang you out to dry.
And then Calvin Pickard ended up playing five periods over 2 days because he got the start the day before when they were taking on, what, the Coyotes.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because he was a former Coyote he got that start. I know they talked about
that
on the podcast. I know, exactly.
No offense, but who cares?
Skinner should have started that one with everybody else.
Sorry,
playing.
Pick dog. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Or exactly. Pick. I don't know about
and
this.
Pickard, how many times are you playing the mullet?
Yeah. Well, I can't. Again, I can't confirm if that's why Knobloch started him.
Yeah.
So, but
you know how we rip on, like, baseball analytics a lot because, as Kevin Barker says, the khakis get in the way.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson is taking it.
I don't know about you,
yesterday.
But back in my day, watching hockey as a kid, sometimes goalies played back-to-back.
Sure
Calvin Pickard could have played back-to-back because chances are he's not seeing the ice in the playoffs.
We could have called somebody up.
Yeah.
Oh, or Jack Campbell.
Or call up a you probably don't have the cap space, but
that's fair.
Bring up a sacrificial lamb. You know, Evan Rodrigue, who you've had down in the AHL and is actually probably going to be a good goaltender, and Jack Campbell stealing all his starts down in the
A,
but that's fine.
They all their call-ups. We don't know that.
When I saw
there
that,
was better choices than Stuart Skinner. We're trying to make excuses for them, but you didn't have to do that.
It was the dumbest thing ever. Why would on earth
5-0
start
within the first 10 minutes of that game?
He was getting shelled. It was like when the Flames played the Canucks in preseason and hammered them 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
That was that game last night, but in the regular season.
It was like what the Oilers did to the Sharks earlier this week.
But no, let's put in our number one goaltender who we need desperately to elevate his game, to have a deep run.
Did you see, then
he goes out there and just gets absolutely shelled.
Did you see the lines for this game?
Oh, they're hilarious.
The Oilers lines?
Did you know that they went with 19 skaters instead of 20 just because they wanted to give someone a night off?
Oh, but not their number one goaltender?
Fogel, Henrique, and Brown, the top line, followed by Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Corey Perry. Matthias Janmark, Sam Carrick, and Derek Ryan. Okay. And then they also had Sam Gagne and Adam Ernie in the lineup. Mm. On the blue line, Nurse and CeCe, Kulak, Desharnais, and Broberg and the Stetch Dog with Skinner between the pipes. And they faced the Avalanche team that were all going for records.
Yeah.
That were hungry.
Oh, they were starving last night.
And they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
And now you get to play the Kings again in round one.
Yeah, what essentially Chris Knobloch did was he threw Stuart Skinner in and threw raw meat and chum all around him. And then the Lions that were McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, They all went in there.
Nichushkin hadn't scored in like 12 games.
And he
There's
lit
one
it up
for
too.
You.
They all ate. All ate last night.
Come to the table, pull it up, get your bibs out, just a feast.
I couldn't believe it.
It was stunning.
Yeah, it was like, hilarious.
Oilers media were just like flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Totally stunned. What are we watching?
Yeah.
And of course, after 20 minutes of play, here comes Calvin Pickard. Nice.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
Nailed that one.
But, oh, no, he can't start back-to-back games.
Can't do it.
You listen, if there's one thing in this world you don't want to do, is start Calvin Pickard on back-to-back nights.
Mm.
When you need to get ready. When you're playing for nothing. When your playoff position has been locked in. And you're playing one of the elite teams in the NHL. Well, it happened. The Kings stormed back last night. Our Dennis Bernstein had to change his hotel plans at the last second.
He did.
He tweeted it out.
He's got to go to Edmonton now.
Yeah. Oilers and Kings in the first round. And I was thinking about this. Because we all kind of secretly wished they were playing the Golden Knights in round one. The Golden Knights also laid an egg last night against the Ducks. Good luck against the Stars in round one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is what you get.
But I was secretly hoping the Golden Knights would play the Oilers. But if you're Edmonton, like, the first round's the time to play them. You're healthy. You're going in. You just crush the confidence of your number one goaltender. But outside of that, you're healthy and you're ready to go in the playoffs to face the defending Stanley Cup champions who knocked you out of the playoffs last year. Felt like a good idea. And now they play the Kings, who they've beaten the last 2 years. I'm not saying they're going to take them lightly, but I thought it would have been super interesting if the Golden Knights would have played the Oilers in round one. But alas, they get the LA Kings.
Do you think this is going to be a series of who gets the last stop?
Well, listen, if like Cam Talbot and Stuart Skinner.
Because here's the thing, as much as McDavid is going to do his thing, that's the reason they went out and they got Deneau and they have Kopitar, because they felt like having one of them wasn't enough. And then they went out and they got even more guys to score when McDavid and Draisaitl aren't on the ice.
Yeah.
And we saw yesterday, if you have good players playing against the Oilers players that are not 97, 29, 18, etc., they can be had. There's some things that you can take from that team.
I did a hit in Toronto last night on the radio. Like, again, the parallels between the Leafs and the Oilers. Like, what's changed?
Wow.
What's changed? Oh, yeah. What's changed? The 9 o'clock slot, very, very sought after last night on AM radio. What's changed? Like, their bottom six still has a ton of question marks, even though they've done some nice moves to try to address that.
Henrik and Perry.
Sure. Okay, but those guys need to be good in the playoffs. Their defense is still a big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Can they get guys like Nurse? Can Cody Ceci be half decent
Bouchard
being Cody Ceci?
Going to be able to do what
right.
he does in
can
the regular season?
Can he handle the physicality of the playoffs? That's a big question mark for them. And can they get a save when they need a save?
Mm-hmm.
Again, what's changed between them and the Leafs?
I don't think a lot. They're
nope.
top heavy.
Yep.
They got some questions throughout the roster the deeper you get.
Yep.
Is there a number one defenseman on either team?
Nope.
Is there a goalie with a short leash on either team? Kinda. Like,
I don't
probably
think the
not,
leash is
probably
that
not
short Skinner,
for Skinner,
but
I don't know.
But again, he has to be good. So then you throw him to the Wolves last night and get shelled in the first period. We got lots to do today. Flames with a 5-1 when they wrap up their season. Brent Cron gonna join us for 2 hours today. He's coming in at 7. He's gonna GVP. You've heard the sensible Flames takes.
No, I had Simon cut him up. I haven't listened.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good intern work. So we'll get our sensible Flames takes that we did after the All-Star break, because we did them in October before the season. We did them at the All-Star break when we had a bit of a sample size. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to hear what we had to say at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hear those at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to Frank Saravalli at 7:30. It's official. Utah. They signed it yesterday. The Arizona's moving to Utah. It's done.
Yeah, they registered some trademark for the names.
Yeah. I hope they call it the Utah Hockey Club, much like it was the Washington football team.
I hope it's Utah HC if it goes like that.
And it's
that.
Going to be Utah. It's not going to be Salt
yeah,
Lake
well, that
City.
That makes sense.
That is, he definitely wants to keep the beautiful state of Utah in the name. By the way, that Ryan Smith, for a guy who's so rich, great head of hair on that Ryan Smith. It's terrible lid. Terrible salad. So he's the new owner. Apparently,
billionaires, they never take care of their
hair. I don't
hair.
Know what's going on there. Apparently, they have over 6,000 seasons tickets, too.
11,000 now.
What?
Last night, 11,000.
In an hour, went from 6 to 11.
Wow.
They care. They want it. It's a good sports town. They support the Jazz through the entire years that the Jazz have sucked.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't been really relevant.
Well, they had a mailman.
Relevant since Malone and Stockton.
Yeah.
I mean, they went to the Western Conference Final in 07, and that was about it.
Nobody wore shorter shorts.
Nope.
Well, they got to the finals against the Bulls.
No, I'm saying they haven't been that far in the playoffs since 07.
Yeah. They were a one seed a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
With Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
And they have my man Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
The Australian with the white sneakers, mate. I shoot the three, mate.
That's awful.
Nice. Crikey.
Really good. Yeah.
No, crikey.
Not even remotely offensive.
What was the... What am I offending? Australians? Are you kidding me?
I'm just saying it's not that great of an accent.
It's a bad accent.
Yeah,
it's an offensive accent.
It's not like I'm trying a Jamaican accent or something.
Don't do that.
Or an Asian accent. I'm not doing that today.
Watch me do my
But Australian. Wrong. Let me do an Australian accent.
It's
what was
English.
The guy at the Masters? Jesper. What was his last name?
the
amateur at the Masters.
I can't remember.
Jasper what? Amateur at the Masters. Google it, please, for me, Patrick. Please. For the love of Christmas. Please. It was Jasper.
I don't remember.
Golfer at the Masters.
Like I said, not
Jesper Parnevik.
No. Jesper Parnevik. Yeah. He's Swedish. He's not Australian.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't watch the Masters with any audio.
You're talking
I just
like
watched
Crystal
it
Lamprecht?
Walking through casinos.
Amateur at the Masters. His name was Jasper something.
Oh, I don't know. I only know the
Google
Neil amateur.
Masters leaderboard.
Masters amateur.
He wasn't the high amateur.
He wasn't the high am. Neil Shipley.
Yeah, Neil Shipley.
Yeah, the guy who played with Tiger. Like, what about that Noddy role? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sketchy eyes.
Yeah, he does have those sketchy eyes. He looks like the everyman, though.
He's looking at a teleprompter.
Yeah. You look terrified.
Yeah.
What's his name? Jesper? It's totally passed by now, but now I have to know his last name. I watched him.
Not
the
Shipley.
First two rounds. No.
I don't know.
All right. What else do you got coming up in the Rose Report? Did you find it yet?
There is... I'm looking for the Australians. There's Cam Davis, Jason Day, Minwoo Lee, Adam Scott.
Okay.
Oh, Jasper Stubbs.
Yeah, Jasper Stubbs.
Never heard
that
of
that. That was
Jasper
worth it.
Jasper Stubbs.
Waiting 2 minutes for that was worth it. Jasper. All right, what do you got coming up in the Rose Report?
So much. Yesterday, we'll recap yesterday. We'll talk about this Utah team a little bit. Jay's got a fresh set. The NBA play-in wraps up.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
All right, so we got Sensible Flame Steaks coming up at 7. We'll do Frank Saravalli at 7:30. And then the roast of me at 8 o'clock, hosted by Patty Dumas.
Yes.
Whoop. You're just going to take over in the 8 o'clock.
I have a little plan how it's going to go.
How
the lineup will go. Our first roaster is going to be Julian. He's got to get the hell out of here because he's got to go to
old
locker clean out.
Cool.
Second roaster is going to be Croner.
Mm-hmm.
Third will be GVP, and Maddie will be our final roaster.
Oh, okay. All right. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that at 8 o'clock because I'm going to own up to my bet. Although I finished over 500 in the football pool picks, I finished third, and the third person gets roasted.
How many games was I above 500 again?
God, a good amount. Like
how
at least
many
20.
Was it? Does anybody remember? 22, 23? What was it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Like, I can talk more about Jesper Stubbs.
No, okay. No. The
Jesper.
Nope, just throw it a break.
Crikey, another paw. All right.
Such an idiot. Throw it a break. I got plenty of Morty reports to kill.
He sounds like a bag of milk.
Jesper. All right. Jesper Stubbs.
Sounds more like
the
fat bastard from Austin Powers than an Aussie.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the Rose Report thing. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, the fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, the fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always. The lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Top of the hour, we'll revisit our Sensible Flame Steaks from the All-Star break. I don't remember any of them. I really don't. We do a lot on this show.
I only remember the one I made at the start of the year.
Oh, really?
Which was Flames of the Wild Card 2 playing the Oilers in round 1.
You know, there's one thing I will never forget now.
Mm.
The Australian amateur at the Masters. Jesper Stubbs.
Stubbs.
Frank Saravalli, 7:30 on Utah, the Utah Hockey Club. Because they're in no hurry to do a name.
No, he can go a year, says.
So it just could be the Utah Hockey Club.
I have all the choices that they've trademarked in the morning report.
Mm. I wonder what their color scheme's going to be then. Were they just going to wear a white and a black jersey like they're playing pickup?
The jersey they gave Mark Scheifele at the 2011 draft. Just a black NHL jersey.
Oh, that'd be cool. You know who would be super stoked about that? Rob Lowe.
Oh, yeah. He'd love that.
He loves supporting stuff like that.
He likes the Shield.
That'd be great if they just wore a white and a black NHL jersey.
Yeah.
That'd be great. It says Utah on the back.
Nobody's player name, just Utah.
Utah. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm going to own up to my bet, the roast of me. We're doing a roast of me. Julian McKenzie will be in studio. Brent Cron. Should be a lot of fun.
You guys, can be all right.
Yeah, should be some. And you're going to host it.
I am.
Sit back. Enjoy.
I've got a little stabs at you and everybody else.
Yeah, okay. The host does. You got to bridge it with a little bit of jokes and levity.
Yeah. I ain't going to be cringy. You know what isn't cringy? The Rose Report. Brought to you by, sometimes it is. It's brought to you by Motorworks. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. They'll gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
Adam Rose.
Rose and Blue.
Matty Rose.
Matty Rose.
Oh, good morning, friends, and welcome to a Friday, the last Friday of the Flames season as they wrapped it up with the Sharks yesterday. Onwards to the offseason, but first the postseason. We'll get you all the details there. Jays get a fresh set in San Diego underway.
Which, of course, in German means...
It's a whale something.
A whale's vagina.
Oh, you went there. It's kids listening.
No, there's no way that's correct.
We got some play-in games for the NBA, some golf, and some Wranglers as well.
We got lots.
Damn straight, Coach. We'll start with the Flames.
How about them Flames?
Yep, took on the Sharks yesterday, closed out their season at home. Pospisil, Kadri, Kuzmenko was aligned, Mangiapane, Backlund, and Coleman, Zary, Huberto, and Sharangovich, and the fourth line of Rooney, Coronado, and the big mutant, Adam Klapka. Uyghur Mirimanov, Shillington Anderson, Slovyov, Bahalier, Pears, and Dustin Wolf got the start. This one went pretty much exactly how you expected. Bunch of guys going after a bunch of milestones. How about an NHL first to get it started?
Let's get the puck in deep. They've got their fourth line out there trying to get something going on the forecheck. Klapka with that 12-mile-long stick of his. Reaches out, picks up the puck, shoots, and scores! The big guy gets his first National Hockey League goal and makes it 1-0 Flame.
With the 12-mile stick.
I like that. Great job, Derek.
Snuck that one in there. Yeah. Did you see the intermission interview with Adam Klapka after scoring his first? It was very nice.
Good screen by the Rundok and Skorshi, so I really appreciate it.
I love nicknames.
Who's Skorshi?
That's Matty Skorshi. That's what they called him in the A.
Oh, okay.
When he was lighting it up down there. I think Mitch McLean started it. They called him Matty Skorshi because he was constantly getting 3 points a night when he showed up. And
good screen by the Rundok and Skorshi, so I really appreciate it.
It sounds like Skorshi.
Yeah. Matty Skorshi.
Yeah.
Skorshi. That's not it. No.
It's not bad. There's only one dog. Well, there's the Weeg dog now.
I like the Rune dog.
Yeah?
It's not
bad. I missed the certain names. Too.
Yeah. Wolf! Good soldier.
Nice.
Wolf, I get it. Blake Coleman looking for goal 30.
Here's Mirimanov as the classic penalty comes to an end. Far side to Anderson. It's stopped. Now it's loose. Coleman scores! There it is! Number 30 for the Flames, number 20. Blake Coleman scores 30 for the first time in his NHL career, and he gives the Flames a 2-0 lead.
The Texas Tiger.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson's 200th career point as an assist on the goal as well.
Did you see the smile on his face when he put that thing in there? That meant something to him.
Connor Zary, nice dish.
Yeah.
Sent it over to the veteran for the tap-in.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice to see it.
Nice collective celebration, too.
Yeah.
For that.
And good for him for coming back from that bad hit in San Jose, because obviously that took a lot out of him, missed a few games here, and then healthy enough to come back and bite the Sharks, if you will. Crickets, please.
Yes, please.
Jasper Stubbs.
How about another first for the big mutant in period two?
And we've got a fight. Adam Klapka has dropped the gloves with Giovanni Smith for Klapka, his first NHL scrap. Finally, they grab each other. Klapka throwing some rights, able to rip Smith's helmet off. Klapka, some big rights, an uppercut, and a roundhouse from Klapka. But Smith wrestles him down.
Yeah, not bad. Smith is definitely an elder statesman compared to Klapka in that type of regard. I did have to cut out like 13 seconds of them just dancing around each other before they engaged, but that's fine. Love to see it. We also had another couple goals. Shillington scored to make it 3-0 with a little muffin from the blue line.
Did that hit Mangiapane's stick? Because they showed a clip of Mangiapane. I don't think it did. Touching his, he's like, it touched my blade kind of thing.
Maybe.
Doesn't matter. No.
Rooney also scored.
It was a nice play.
A nice little forecheck from Coronado and Pospisil.
Matty Scorchy.
Yes, sir. And then Coleman went down low. We got another one that's another franchise record here.
Here's Weaker with a shot. He scores! Pick up that puck. Mackenzie Weaker breaks Al MacInnis's franchise record for most even-strength goals in a season with his 17th. That's also his 20th goal of this 2023-2024 campaign.
17 even strength goals, new franchise record. Yep. 20 goals from the blue line, the first to do it since Gio.
The boys like to call me the muffin man.
And it was another muffin. Another floater that goes off a shark's shoulder.
It was apropos.
Avoids two flame sticks miraculously to get in there for his 20th. You'll love to see it.
Yeah, like you look at the list of these guys scoring 20 on the flame, like the goats of the organization here. Gary Suter, 23 in 92-93. MacInnis, 28-93-94. Dion in 05-06, 20. Gio, 21 and 15 and 16. And now the Muffin Man with 20. Like
Had
MacInnis's
himself.
Shot, Weaker shot. I think that's how.
You'd like, think that there's like a sweet
the blue
spot
line
but
in franchise yeah. history. MacInnis, and then you got the weak dog
just
right
behind him
in second.
So close. Into the third period. Usually when games are a blowout like this, it's late in the season, the third period is much of going through the motion. But the thing is, the Flames did have a chance to earn Dustin Wolf his first career shutout. I'm just going to play the clip.
Of having your regular penalty killers out there. I don't want to say it.
Yeah. I know what you're getting at.
His hockey Twitter will yell at me,
right? Even though I don't believe in that either.
Yeah, you're not saying it.
No, I'm not going to. Out of respect.
There's Graf back to the line. Glanlin. Graf. There's a pass over. Fed back. One timer. Fire high. Glanlin. 15 seconds to go. Gets it back again. Takes a look. Zetterlund shoots. Scores. 8.9 to go.
Yeah.
After that, Kelly goes, we're off the hook, right?
Yeah.
And Rick's like,
we all know like that was the only thing essentially left. Well, that and Kadri. Just frantically playing every other shift in the third period, too, by the way.
There was that shift late in the third where he was getting double shifted, and he got it in the neutral zone and just, like, fumbled it, almost gave up a breakaway to his shark, and you're like, okay, maybe we need to just...
I'm surprised they didn't put him out there for the PK.
Well, because they were trying to
get him to shut out.
Get the shutout for Dustin Wolf.
But at the
Listen,
same time...
You had 58 minutes, Nazem.
Yeah.
What was his ice time? Let me double check what his ice time was.
How many shifts did he have? Must have been the number one forward shifts wise last. He had to have been.
Felt like he was double shifting at the.
Oh yeah,
he skated 19:25.
Okay, well,
22
bad.
Shifts. Mangiapane had 22.
Really?
These were all defensemen. Yeah, that's the most.
No, yeah,
amongst forwards,
yeah,
obviously.
Of course, yeah. But that one shift he was on for like 2 minutes. It was like Alexei Kovalev. When
they
he played
win
for Mike Keenan. Just stay on.
Wolf does win four in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
Kadri does stay stuck at 29 despite 16 shot attempts. Mackenzie Weegar expressed his thoughts on what makes games like this so special after the contest.
Yeah, I think the most special part was the big mutant Klapka getting that goal and giving me a big hug, and he's looking down at me, and he's, I scored in the NHL, and he's spitting on my face, and spitting on my face, I just scored in the NHL, and I'm like, right, son. So, you know, it's little things like that that are special, and you don't forget those.
I love
the
it.
The big mutant Klapka.
We got to get the weed dog in studio.
God, he's the best. So that's it. Today's locker cleanout day. Keep it dialed here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan all day, or check out the Flames Talk podcast feed for exclusive interviews and every single one of the media avails. Could go all day, but it sounds like it will be all the players plus Huska and Conroy speaking today. It sounds like they're going to get going real early around 9 a.m.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
And of course, we'll be breaking it down for you Monday as well. And just thanks for listening to us dummies on the morning report in the opening hour all season long, because we love you guys. That's it. We'll get plenty mushy in the roast later. Don't worry about that. Two games had an impact on the... Yeah, I'm going to get real mushy. Oh. Two games had an impact on the standings yesterday. Kings and Blackhawks, as well as the Knights and the Ducks. The Knights led by a point. Whoever finished higher got the Oilers. The lower got the Stars. The initial question was, did Vegas beat Anaheim? This game was tied at 1 after 40. Vegas just needed one more goal to clinch third in the Pacific.
Flips it ahead, and Carlson turns on the Jets, goes wide on the left side and in behind the goal. Leo hits the brakes. Oh, nice little move there by Leo. Opens some space, coming in off the point. Jackson Lacombe scores!
23-year-old Jackson Lacombe, the game winner. Ducks rattled off three in the third. They won 4-1 as the Knights leave some points on the table. That meant LA had to beat Chicago to jump over the Knights on the final day of the season. They would tie this game late in regulation and then early in overtime.
Hawks will start Bedard, Kurashev, Korchinski, and off the draw, Kempe quickly moves in. Kempe shoots and scores!
Yeah, Kempe says, saddle up, boys. Let's go to the playoffs. Score 6 seconds, and the Kings jump over the Knights, and that sets the playoffs. Here are your matchups. Oilers and Kings in the first round for the third straight season. Canucks and Predators. Jets and Avalanche. That one from Winnipeg. Leafs and Panthers from Florida. 4 of 7 Canadian teams got tickets to the dance. We'll also see the Stars and Knights, a rematch of the Western Conference Final from last year. Lightning and Panthers, the Battle of Florida never disappoints. We got the Islanders and the Hurricanes, as well as the Rangers and the Capitals.
Do you want the consensus series prices real quick?
Sure, yeah, let's go real quick.
The Oilers are minus 180 against the Kings. That means you'd have to bet $180 to win 100. That's how that works. So the Stars are the favorites against the Knights. Only minus 130. I think that's a good price for the Dallas Stars. Avalanche minus 140 against the Jets.
Yeah.
They're the favorites.
It's the names.
Yep. No, okay.
It's the only the names.
Right, so that means you'd have to bet $140 to win 100 for the...
Jets are the hottest team heading into the playoffs.
Okay, so there's maybe some value on the Jets there.
Eight Canucks, wins in a row.
Canucks only minus 155 against the Preds.
Yeah, I like the Predators to take this thing at least 6.
Okay. When you talk about teams that went on a real push to get into the playoffs, plus they're going to be very well rested. They haven't played since like Monday.
Yeah. And in the East, Hurricanes, big favorites against the Islanders, minus 350. Bruins just minus 120. That's essentially a pick 'em.
Should be.
For the Leafs, Panthers minus 185 against the Lightning.
Wow.
That's
maybe a little value on the other side.
I think
there.
There's a little value on the Lightning. And the Rangers, big favorites, minus and 400 versus the Capitals.
Stars only getting minus 130 against Vegas. That's just Vegas getting the lower Stanley Cup champion, defending champ. But, like,
there's
man,
some good value on the Stars.
Vegas
there,
didn't watch Dallas a lot this year, it feels like.
We've already talked a lot about Edmonton, so we'll just skip over the rest of the games yesterday. But a couple of awards from the regular season. Kucherov wins the Art Ross, 144 points. Connor Hellebuck wins the Jennings. He was outstanding all year long. He's probably going to win the Vezina. And Matthews won the Rocket with 69 goals. And the Coyotes.
69 goals?
Yes, he did. Oh. The Coyotes are definitely moving. Yesterday, the Board of Governors approved it, and Bettman and Marullo spoke to the media, kind of. We'll get some more notes on the move right now here. So it's actually Ryan and Ashley Smith, who are the owners of Smith Entertainment Group, not just Ryan. The new NHL team is going to play at the Delta Center, currently 12,000 seats, but it's going to get up to, I believe they said, 15 in the next 2 years. They're not going to build a new arena, but they are going to renovate the Delta Center and then play there long term. It's a relocation. It's not an expansion. They're buying the current players, the reserve list, hockey operations department, and the draft picks, but they're not buying
the
IP, the team history, the logos, all that stuff still
belongs to Alex Marullo. Ryan Smith has never actually spoken to Marullo.
They also bought up the debt.
Yeah, Smith will be meeting with the players in the front office for the first time today. They're going to be a Utah team, not a Salt Lake City team. The trademarks filed on Tuesday were for the Utah Blizzard, the Venom, the Fury, the HC, and the Hockey Club.
Hmm. I don't mind Fury or Venom. Venom seems kind of cool.
Venom can play into bees.
Ryan Smith shared on Twitter that they had 11,000 deposits on season tickets in the first 3 hours for a 12,000-seat stadium.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Bettman's going to meet the media with Alex Marullo in Arizona at 11:30 this morning, and then Bettman's going to jump on a bird. He's going to head to Salt Lake and meet with the media alongside Ryan and Ashley at 4 o'clock. Jays back at it as they begin a 7-game roadie. Actually, yes, Blair, it's going to be 7. First in San Diego for a weekend set, and then a 4-game series in KC before returning home to face Shohei and the Dodgers next weekend. First time they've been to San Diego since 2013. Expecting Yariel Rodriguez to face Matt Waldron in tonight's game. Jose Berrios and Chris Bassett also on the bump for the weekend. No batter on either team has ever faced either starting pitcher. Yarod, 6 Ks in 3 2/3 innings in his first showing with the Jays. Toronto, 193 batting average and a 4-6 record on the road this season. Has not been great, especially against starting pitchers. We'll see if that changes today. Sportsnet 960 and Sportsnet West at 7 o'clock. First pitch is going to be at 7:40 tonight.
Man, he's letting it eat, dude.
You got to let it eat.
They'll avoid Yu Darvish in this series as he's going on the 15-day IL.
And Petco is a hard place to hit, too.
Yeah, it is.
The marine layer at night.
Totally.
Yeah.
Time for Yariel Rodriguez. We'll see how it goes in his first start.
And watching Tatis Jr. is still fun.
If they don't use Bowden Francis in some sort of long role today, then the questions for John Snyder get even more big. Yeah. NBA.
It's the khakis.
NBA.
What happened tonight? This is completely BS.
We have two more playing games tonight. First, the Bulls and Heat. This on Sportsnet 1. No Jimmy Butler. Oof. Out weeks with an MCL injury suffered in the loss to the Sixers Wednesday. 5 o'clock start. Winner gets the Celtics in round one. That begins Sunday in Boston. Kings and Pelicans after.
Home team
down their star here. Zion Williamson won't play. He left their loss to the Lakers Tuesday late in the game. 7:30 tip. Also on Sportsnet 1, because you know what we are, George.
The home of Grand Slam curling for a little bit more?
Yes, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Anything else?
Are we going to be a partner for the Paris Olympics with CBC?
Maybe. I assume so. Oh, yeah. We usually are.
We'll
we get something.
As a catchment
but that's
station.
not what I was. I was just talking about
the home of the NBA. You can make
my Saturday slate is set as well. Magic and Cavs at 11 a.m. Suns Timberwolves at 1:30. Sixers and Knicks at 4, and the Lakers and Nuggets at 6:30.
I know you're jacked up for the NHL playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jacked up for the NBA playoffs too. Like, jacked up.
That Mavs-Clippers series
that
is going to be just disgusting.
The West is just a murderer's row. Like, there's so many good teams in the
Denver
Western
should
Conference.
Get through it,
yeah,
but it's going to be tough.
Yep.
I got to say, I do like the two-screen experience during the playoffs because one network has one sport and the other network has the other sport. It makes it pretty easy to do the two-screen stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I don't really know how to tee this one up for the NFL, but off-season workouts are underway in the NFL. I don't know why the Jaguars GM was speaking.
Trent Baalke?
Yeah, but Trent Baalke, he was spitting gas yesterday.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Something stinks.
At least he apologized.
Like, how does he just let it rip?
Still
Some
got
guys
a couple
no
of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the
like,
final
how loud is
board
that?
Yet.
GVP is
amplified it.
Jack the volume on this. But yes, it is notable.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
He definitely slapped that thing off the chair.
He had to like lean over and get that thing out. That was a push. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, he's got thinning hair.
It's terrible.
Ryan Smith is on the TV, and George is mad that he's got bad hair for a billionaire. Millionaire? Billionaire?
Billionaire with a B.
Yeah.
Hey, but if you want to be a billionaire to a millionaire, buy an NHL team in the States.
Tour is down in Hilton Head for the RBC Heritage.
Ball is in.
Parking lot.
Parking lot.
Would you like to play again?
Would you like to play again?
You've selected no.
You have selected no.
Comes with scoring pencil.
So good.
You
fifth of eight signature events on the tour. American JT Poston leading at 8 under. Seamus Power, Colin McCorra, couple of strokes back. Canadian Mac Hughes is 3 strokes back of the lead at 5 under. Adam Hadwin hanging around. Corey Connors 2 under. Same as Scotty Scheffler, so he's got a chance. Round 2 underway. We'll conclude around 4:30 this afternoon. Ladies are playing their first major. It's the Chevron Championship down in the Woodlands, Texas. Brooke Henderson 1 under, 5 strokes back of the leader after round 1. The Wranglers play Abbotsford tonight and tomorrow to close out the regular season.
Welcome to Snipe City, Alberta.
They're probably going to finish 7th. They could jump over Bakersfield. 3 points back, 2 games to go for both. They'll be playing either the Tucson Roadrunners, the Ontario Reign, or the Colorado Eagles in round 1. Is seeding still to be decided before the playoffs start next weekend. Roughnecks close out their season with the Roughnecks Rodeo. Also, Fan Appreciation Night. This is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Head over to the Roughnecks social media. They actually have a chance to win season tickets for next year on their Twitter right now. And Cavalry continue their start to the season. They visit Atletico Ottawa at noon on Saturday, Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough one. Ottawa's a lot of people are talking about Ottawa as being a favorite to win it all this year. So
really?
Cavs going to have to step up and be one more on the road before they come home on Tuesday.
Lost their first one on the road in Hamilton against Forge 2-1, but like you said, looking for their first win of the season.
Athletic.
And good night,
though.
And good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, the owner wants to keep their name on the team. That's fine.
All right. Terrific stuff. The Rose Report is
a lot of things getting cut in your craw today, hey?
Well, no, but like a team from Ottawa. Atlantic,
I know,
Ottawa.
It's stupid.
It's like Real Salt Lake because they have a relationship with Real Madrid. So stupid. You're in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So stupid. All right, the Rose Report is brought to you by Motors. If you want a BMW, choose Motors for service and repairs. They'll gladly match, then beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Ave and 3rd Street, Southeast. Atletico, Ottawa. All right.
Settle down.
Our Sensible Flames takes from the All-Star break. Straight ahead, Brent Cron in studio, Frank Saravalli at 7:30. Who knows if it'll be soured today? Maybe. And then the roast of me at 8 o'clock. Still lots to come. Big show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.